Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Fox Nomad Podcast. I'm your host, Fox Nomad Donald Pullout. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So those of you who have been listening know that for the last few weeks, in between our regular seasons, I have been filming several videos for YouTube. I have been to a couple of new countries and several new cities, and I'm wanted to talk a little bit about those today. I wanted to talk about Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, which was really surprising for me. I did not know what to expect in Saudi Arabia. Here's my impressions. I thought it would be very, very closed. I thought people would be very distant. I thought it would be difficult to navigate. I had a lot of sort of conceptions on how conservative it would be, how difficult it would be to travel there. And I was really, like Bangladesh, if you listen to my episodes, I was surprised at what I found. And man, this is what I love about travel, is that like you can constantly be learning new things, but also you realize the perceptions you have of a place compared to what you see on the ground can be so different. And I read a lot. I consume, you know, a fair amount of travel content. I read the news a lot. I read it like a book a week or something like that. I feel like I've been to a lot of places. I've been to 110 countries. I feel like my sense of what a place is like should be pretty solid, right? Like I should be able to guess. Like I think I know what it's like. But when you go there, it's so different. And the things that stand out to you when you're in a place are like things you never expected. So I go to Jeddah. Saudi Arabia is now, since COVID, been doing this push toward tourism. And one of the ways they did that, it used to be very difficult to visit Saudi as a tourist, but now they have an online visa. It's really easy to fill out. And once you do, it takes 48 hours, but I got my visa in 4 hours. It costs $100, a little bit pricey for a visa, to be honest. But I did that. I arrived at the airport. There was nobody at the airport. It's huge. Like what I learned is in Saudi Arabia, the airports and the train station, everything is huge and brand new. Like imagine a big train station and then like make it 10 times as big in your mind, because that's what it's like. So I arrive in Jeddah and the passport control officer, I'm always like, you know, this is like your first person you're meeting in the country, right? And it can go one of either ways, right? They're not often the happiest people or whatever. So I get into the line. I'm the only person, at least in the foreigner, like the non-Saudi, non-Gulf state passports line. I get there, this guy is maybe like 25, I would say, a youngish guy. And he looks through my passport, says, "This is your first time? Yes. Why are you here? Tourism? Where are you going to go? This. He's very serious, right? And he's like, "Do you know Arabic?" And this and that, and you know, I mean, just basic questions. He's super serious though. And I was like, it was kind of feeding into my like, okay, this is going to be super strict, like a place, you know, like I can't interact with the local authorities, you know, avoid all this stuff. And then the guy stands with my passport. And in the happiest ways, he's like, "Welcome to the country, you know, like go through, you know, like da da da, like have a great time." Like, you know, it was really funny. And I don't know if he was just messing with me, but the difference between you know, like me being questioned and then him just being like, hey, welcome, you know, go, hey, you know, Habibi, you know, it was really nice. So that kind of like, you know, warmed me up to things. Yeah. You know? So I got there, I got to the hotel. I stayed in the largest hotel in Jeddah. The reason I'm mentioning this hotel is not to brag, but also because I filmed a lot about this hotel. It was really, really interesting. Jeddah is the main entry point for people going to Mecca. Riyadh is the commercial capital, right? But like Jeddah is a major hub for people going to Mecca. Mecca, the holiest city in Islam, a major pilgrimage site for Muslims. And it is with the train, like they have a high-speed rail there. It's like 30 minutes away. So the airport is the Jeddah airport. But now Saudi Arabia is trying to investing a lot in making Jeddah a commercial center as well. So I stayed at the Voca Hotel. It's in, what is it? IHG? Yeah. IHG, whoever owns Intercontinentals, you know, it's that group. They just built, it seems like in the middle of nowhere, the biggest hotel in Jeddah, but around it, they've cleared out like so much land. And I was told by some of the locals that what they're going to do is turn that area into basically like a mini Dubai, make it a commercial center, shopping, you know, nightlife, like all kind of stuff. So it was really interesting to see it. The guy said the guy who worked in tourism, he said in 5 years, this place will look completely different. And I believe it. I believe it. I mean, I did see the construction. I did go running around the city at like 6 a.m. It was a great way to see parts of town, but also not like fry myself because it was so hot. Average temperature of 45 Celsius, 110 degrees, at least during that time of the year that I was there. Very, very strong sun. So if you're going to go jogging, it's at night or it's in the day, in the morning. But yeah, so it was really interesting. A couple of things that just pop out in my mind. The hotel had a pool. Men and women could use the pool. However, they also had a gym. Men and women could use the gym. Not all of the women were covered. The foreign women weren't covered. And there is no specific rule, as far as I know, in Saudi Arabia that women do have to cover. You do see a lot of burqas, which I did not find surprising in Saudi Arabia. But then you also see women who just have their head covered. And then you just see some who have like kind of the scarf is like half on their head. And then some who aren't covered at all. And I was like pretty shocked. I thought women in Saudi Arabia all had to wear burqas. Apparently there is no law that they have to. It is a cultural, I guess, personal decision. So not everybody was covered. That surprised me. When it comes to the pool and the gym, men and women can use the gym. I'm at a hotel. There's a lot of foreigners there. But they also, which is very common, have a separate pool for women that's indoors, a separate sauna and jacuzzi for women, a separate gym for women that was separate from the common areas. Women do not have to use those areas. But I did get a tour of those places when they were empty. And I filmed them and I thought, okay, so the pool for women is going to be crappy. This is what I was thinking. Like it's going to be an afterthought, but no, it was like a really, really nice pool area. And, you know, there were women swimming in the common pool area that's outdoors, but this indoor one was like really nice. Like, and it's open later in the day, later in the evening than the common area pool, which men don't have. They can't enter the pool after 6 p.m. But the women's area was open much later. So I was kind of surprised by that. I did think it would be sort of like an afterthought. Same thing with the gym in the hotel. It was like, oh, they basically just built a second gym, basically the same gym, but the women's only one. Or women could use the common one. Like it didn't, there was no rule. But as I was explained to, that a lot of women in Saudi Arabia would prefer to have a women's only section. And so they do have those areas. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Walking around, you don't do a lot of walking around in the city because it's so hot. You take Uber everywhere. It's not very expensive. I thought Saudi Arabia, and everybody told me, it's not a cheap place. It's going to be really expensive. To give you an idea, the hotel, which is a 5-star hotel, one of the best hotels I've ever stayed in. I had like a full kitchen, laundry room, all that stuff. Super, super nice hotel with breakfast and all these things. I mean, like, and a massive breakfast. 5 stars, right? $144 a night. Or, yeah, I think it was $140 a night. That's not that bad. Like, if you think about it, like, they were telling me in Riyadh, the same hotel was like $400 a night. So Jeddah is going to get more expensive, I think. But just right now, there are not a lot of tourists who are not there to go to Mecca. You know, it's not a commercial place. It doesn't get a lot of tourism. So it was kind of interesting to be there at that time. So it wasn't as expensive. The Ubers were really cheap. It was like, you know, $2, $3 to get from anywhere in town to anywhere else in town. The food was really good. There's not a lot online as to where you should eat locally. So I would just ask locals. I would take the recommendations and I would go eat places. The food in Jeddah is very similar to Yemeni food. And I wasn't making YouTube videos at the time. But I did, when I visited Yemen in 2013, I think it was, it had one of the best cuisines I've ever had anywhere in the world. More people should know about it. And I do wish that there were more Yemeni restaurants around the world. I wish Yemen were safe to visit. I wish there wasn't war there because it was one of the most interesting places I had been. So it was really nice in Saudi to find that the food in Jeddah, there are a lot of Yemenis in Jeddah as well, that the food was heavily influenced by Yemenis. So we're talking like different kinds of stuffed breads all kind of bean dishes. There's a lot of different meats and seafoods is really big in Jeddah. None of the food is spicy. A lot of flavor. So, I mean, just off the top of my head, just some impressions, right? So what else about Jeddah? Oh, yeah. It is like this weird mix of like very, very modern. And then you go to some parts of the town where you can go to like an old market that might as well be like 200 years in the past, right? So these huge malls with everything like Starbucks and all that stuff. Baskin Robbins, Skechers, and Tim Hortons are like everywhere, not just in Jeddah, but in Saudi Arabia, like even Mecca, you know, like everywhere. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. They have cornered the market in Saudi Arabia. But then you go to these other parts of town that are selling like dates, you know, and these fruit markets, and you're really like back in time. But I think overall, we're talking about Saudi Arabia, and I thought this might just be Jeddah, but I was wrong. People are incredibly warm and friendly. You know, they say that. I think people are friendly everywhere in the world. I really do. They're just friendly in their own way. That's how I like to look at it. Like you go to Sweden, you know, people are friendly. Germans are friendly, but they're not friendly in the sense that they'll keep a distance. They won't really come up and talk to you as easily in general as some other parts of the world. You know, some places are more stoic, but I do believe people are generally friendly everywhere in the world. But they're friendly in their own way. So you have to kind of understand the cultural cues and stuff. But in Saudi Arabia, so many people came up to me. They said, what are you doing here? You know, like, welcome. Here's my number. Like they would give me their card and say, if you need anything when you're in the country or you're in Jeddah, just call me. Like, just send a message. Like, I'll be happy to help. Like, don't think twice. So, so, so many people did that. Like, I felt like an honored dignitary. I mean, it was wild. So many people did that. Everywhere I went, everyone was really helpful. English is sort of hit or miss. There are a lot of Bangladeshi workers. There are a lot of workers from Southeast Asia and Philippines. So there are a lot of people there who speak English, you know, pretty fluently. And a lot of the workers, you know, restaurants and things, like you'll be able to communicate with the Saudis, it's like hit or miss. Younger generation knows a lot more English and so on. But like I would go to a restaurant, for example, and I wouldn't know what to order. And everybody would help me out. They would kind of explain, you know, they would show me around, take pictures with me. I don't know. That was kind of my impression of Jeddah. I mean, there's a lot to show you in the videos, but I just kind of wanted to give you some idea of what it's like to be there. It was very different than what I was expecting. It was a lot more modern, but also still felt historic and old. But by far, the most interesting thing about the country to me was how nice the people were. People were so warm and welcoming. Like I would be in a taxi and we'd be driving down the road and, you know, they have people selling water at carts on the road. And it would stop the taxi, get out or in the Uber, go buy water from like the water stand and give me water along the way. And we were just going like 10 minutes down the road. But he was like, oh, you look hot. So get some water, stay hydrated. You know what I mean? Like it was very nice. I've got more coming up from Saudi Arabia, so make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this little sort of off the top of my head impressions of Jeddah. But if you have any questions, let me know at Fox Nomad pretty much everywhere or podcast@foxnomad.com via email. Thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, make sure you give the Fox Nomad podcast a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really, really, really helps us get the word out about the show. Season 6, we broke records and still continue to. So I'm really, really excited for season 7. I have some guests that you won't be able to believe that I was able to get. So really excited about that. Thank you all for listening. And until the next episode, have a great rest of your day.